All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to Landmark Baptist Church Sunday School lesson. I'm pretty excited about this lesson this morning.
Amen.
I was really wanting to get to where we're at today. Tremendous, Psalms 22. And we want to update everybody real quick. I called Sister Joanne, and she's doing somewhat better. Looking forward to coming home and gaining ground. And I tell you, I praise God for that. Mm-hmm. She said she's able to dress herself, able to go to the bathroom, able to walk.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. I called and talked to Sister Bonnie, and she's going to be here today. Her eyes so much better. She's going to get the other one done, I think, next week. But we just trying to catch up. We've had one of them kind of weeks. Broke a tooth out. Lawnmower went belly up. Had to get lawnmower fixed, get the yard mowed. We've just been spread thinner water this week. But I tell you what, I just rejoice in every bit of it. I mean, boy, having the Lord there with you, just seemed like everything is more bearable. I used to be in the world. I had to anger the world. I had the mind of the world. I'd throw things and break things. Now I just say, praise the Lord about everything. Amen. Bible says in everything, give praise to God. But we want to ask the Lord's blessing on this Sunday school lesson this morning. Father, we love you this morning. So thankful, Lord, that you give us this day to enjoy. Lord, we ask you to bless us, Lord, today. Ask you, Lord, to help us, dear Father, today, that we might be able to be a blessing, Lord. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to your people. We want to try to somehow help someone, Lord, today. Lord, in this lesson, we pray for that help of God, that we might be able to do that. Father, I pray for those in the church today that are struggling, Father, with attendance. Those that are struggling, Father, physically, spiritually. Those, Lord, going through trials. Failed, Lord, their health's failing them. They're getting feeble. Brother Mitchell said Sister Phyllis wasn't able to be here this morning. And I know she wanted to be here, Lord. And I pray you'd send blessings her way. And Lord, help her, Father, today. Lord, I pray for my wife, dear Lord, today. Notice, Lord, she kept falling asleep. Lord, as I was fixing her breakfast this morning. And I pray for her, Lord, she's getting frail. I pray for Sister Joanne, Lord. Lord, continue to bless her. Continue to help her, Lord. And bless Sister Bonnie. Lord, going to put out extra effort, Lord, to be here this morning. Bless her for that. We pray for Brother Mark and Sister Kay, Lord. Mark, heaven. Lord, back pain, Lord, excruciating back pain. And Lord, we know, Lord, you're touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And I pray you'll help Brother Mark, Lord, to have a good day today. And Lord, help Kay, Lord, she's still struggling, Father, with her health, Lord. And Lord, you're the Lord God that healeth us. I pray you'd visit Kay today and help her, Lord, with her health. And Lord, we got so many. Sister Tammy, Lord, having trouble with her health, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for all of them, Lord, that God, you might minister, Lord, to their hurt. Carolyn, Lord, I believe Larry's wife said she went to work this week not really feeling like it. And we know, Lord, what that's like when you got to go to work, when you don't feel like it. And I pray for Carol this morning. I pray for Larry and Serenity and Leroy. Lord, bless, I pray, this church, Father, and help it to be a blessing, Lord. We don't mind being little. Lord, we just want to be a blessing, Lord. And Lord, even little, Lord, we can be a blessing. We ask for your blessing, Father. And I pray for Eric's friend, Charlie. Lord, he said, Lord, he's battling cancer. Lord, we pray for him. I pray for Donna Moorhead. Brother Patrick visited her Wednesday night, Lord, trying to comfort her, Lord. They sent her home, no hope, no help they could give her, but Lord, you can. We pray you'll help Donna, Lord. Help her, Lord, recover. We pray for Bruce. Got cancer, Lord. We got so many, Father. We couldn't use the time to name them all. So we just pray, dear God, for all of them. Ask your blessings on them. Ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Had a good work, good week of prayer. Amen. I thank God for the privilege of prayer.
That's right.
We're in Psalms chapter number 22. We stopped somewhere. We're about verse number 10. And we'll pick up right there, verse number 10. This is a tremendous psalm. It's a psalm about Calvary. It's kind of like Isaiah 53, Psalm 69. Got a lot of Bible verses other than the Gospels about the crucifixion. But here in verse number 10, we'll read verse 9 and then we'll get down there. Verse 9 says, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." Every little baby needs God to live. And Jesus was no different. He had to borrow a mother to get in this world. He didn't have to borrow a father. He was virgin born. And the world can't understand that. And they're not supposed to understand it. It's a miracle of God. That's why God used that method to bring His Son in the world. But verse 11 of our first verse this morning, the Lord's in trouble right here. He's in trouble because His hour has come.
That's right.
He told His disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." He said, "Pray with me." And they went to sleep on Him. And I don't blame them. There's a devil in that garden. This thing all started in the garden. You had the Garden of Gethsemane. And then you had the Garden of God that God put Adam in. There was a devil in both of them. And Adam succumbed to the devil, but Jesus didn't. Boy, he prayed and he sweat. His blood became like great drops of blood. And you know what? He prayed for an hour. We checked on his disciples. They was asleep. And he said, told them to pray that they enter not into temptation. He went back and prayed another hour. And they's back asleep. He went back and prayed again. And then this mob showed up. And he says there in verse 11, he says, "Be not far from me." Jesus, as he prayed in that garden, he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will." He was praying for that cup to pass from him. You see, he had to drink from that cup. That was your sins and my sins. And he had never known sin. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. And he says, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help." He is forsaken. Verse 1 says, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He is forsaken because of our sins. He'd never been separated from God. Now he is. And you know, it's one thing about hell. It separates you from God. Even though you're a lost sinner, even though you're on your way to hell, every morning you got new mercy. Every morning you got God pleading with you to repent, get right with God, get saved. But I'll tell you what, in hell, there'll be no more God to deal with you. There'll be no more mercy offered you. There'll be no more days to repent. I'm telling you, in hell, you'll feel what Jesus is feeling right here. And he said, "There's none to help me." If you'll look over here, well, Acts 17 verse 27 says God's not far from any one of us. Acts 17, 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." But He was far from the Lord because of the sin, of our sins being bestowed upon Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Well, here Jesus is. He's forsaken of God. I think it's Psalm chapter number 71. Let me see if I can find this. Psalm chapter 71, verse number 10 through 13. "I've never been forsaken of God. And the reason I haven't is because He's always loved me. Since I got saved, He's always been with me." But Psalm 71, verse number 10, "For mine enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God have forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him." He's in this moment right here, and he said, "There's none to help." Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about y'all, but when I get in trouble, I dial 911, or I start praying, or I call whoever I think and come help me. I broke down one time, called Brother Donnie. I said, "Hey, I'm broke down up here." He said, "I'm on my way." Ain't nothing better than somebody saying, "I'll be there. I'll help you some way. I'll get a ride home." Anything. Well, there's none to help him. He said, "There is none to help." Verse 12 says, many bulls have compassed me.
Amen.
Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. You remember this term, bully? Mm-hmm. Remember in school, the boy pushed you down? Mm-hmm. Boy, they knock your books out of your hand?
Right.
That's kind of what this is. He's got these bullies.
Right.
They can't wait to get their hands on him. He said, many bulls have compassed me. There's a bunch of them, Rita. They hate him, but they hate him without a cause.
That's right.
He didn't do nothing but love them.
Amen.
He didn't do nothing but heal them. But they resented that. They hated him. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan. You know, I've got a lot of fights. I've got my tail whooped more than once. One thing you don't want to get in fight with somebody about twice as big as you.
That's right.
Well, the Lord here, he's at a loss because he put himself there for our sake. He willingly put himself here.
Amen.
He could have called up on more than 10,000 fleas of angels. And he could have stopped it anytime he wanted to, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
He allowed all this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Many strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They can't wait. Verse 13. They gapped upon me with their mouths. I mean, they hate him as raven. And a roaring lion. We all know who that roaring lion is. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, here he is literally being mauled by this mob here. Let's go real quick. Matthew chapter 26. I've got to hurry. I want to finish this if I can today. But here, Matthew chapter number 26. He just run the gauntlet. I mean, he goes through the Sadducees. And then here, Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. It says, and they laid hold on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Their having Jesus brought to him. But Peter followed him afar off to the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God. He didn't say that. He said, destroy this temple and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose. They just want an opportunity. I mean, this is all they needed was anything. This is really probably the first fake news. When Jesus said, I'll destroy this temple, raised again in 3 days, talking about his own body. High priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? See, he's led like a lamb to the slaughter. Open not his mouth. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now he asked a legitimate question here. And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You know, they didn't like that answer. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him. Others smote him with the palms of their hand, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who smote thee. See, he's getting this beaten in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. And the morning was come, and chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus, put him to death. When they bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. The whole goal here is to deliver him to these bullies. In Luke 23, verse number 5, they were more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry. Behold, beginning from Galilee to this place, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Since he knew he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he heard many things of him, and had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod missed the moment. I mean, I'm telling you, the time had passed for miracles. We're talking about it's time to pay the price for sin. When he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing, the chief priests and scribes stood and veiledly accused him, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. I just want you to know they couldn't wait to get their hands on Jesus.
That's right.
That royal line of verse 13 there. Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, that the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking him and may devour. He couldn't wait to get his hands on Jesus. Verse 14. This is a picture of the crucifixion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint hanging on the cross. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. I've never been there, but he was there.
Right.
And this is kind of like a snapshot of Calvary, before Rome ever came to be a nation, before the cross ever entered the heart of man. It was already in the mind of God, already in the will of God that Jesus would come and give his life a ransom for all. He said, my strength, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. The weight hanging on that cross. Listen to this description here. My heart's like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. He's losing his strength. He said, verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me to the dust of death. I mean, here he is on the cross and the suffering of the cross. Oh, the bones are out of joint. The heart's melted. His strength's gone. He's thirsty. He's at the point of death. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Notice this. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know, that's not even mentioned in the gospel except for Thomas sits up, I see the nail print in his hand. Put my finger in the nail print of his hand. Thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. Thomas said here, he wasn't there when Jesus came to show himself to the disciples. The Lord here, he came back. And Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, verse 25 of John chapter 20, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. You realize that faith is not seeing. The Bible says faith is such things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen by it. The elders obtained a good report. But Thomas here, he's got to see. He's a Jew. He's got to see it before he's going to believe it. So Jesus comes back and he tells Thomas there, verse 27, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas answered, my Lord, my God. And Jesus rebuked him, Thomas, because you've seen me. It ain't hard to believe when you're seeing something. What's really bad today is we're believing things we're seeing are not true. I mean, ever seen so many lies on TV today.
Right.
I'm telling you, buddy, just because you see something don't mean it's true. They're able to do virtual things today. They can put your head on somebody else's head. They can make your speech from someone. AI can do it all now. He said, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us, amen. All right. He's at the point of death there in verse 15. Verse 16 says, Gentiles. He said, for dogs have compassed me, the semen of the wicked. These are Gentile dogs, the semen of the wicked. They've compassed him, and now they've nailed him to the cross there, verse 16. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They took all of his clothes away. He's been fasting, praying, and he's just literally skin and bones. That's why it says, I may tell all my bones. He's got no clothes at all on. They look. They're staring at the naked Jesus on the cross. Verse 18, they part my garments among them. That's why I ain't got no clothes in verse 17. And cast lots upon my vesture. Like I said, this is for Calvary. Right. Yet they pierced his hands and feet, parted his garments, cast lots upon his vesture. Mm-hmm. Mark 15:24 talks about him parting his raiment. I do want to read that. I know I'm in a hurry, but I'm going to slow down a little. It looks like I'm doing okay with this. Mark 15:24. And when they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, whatever man should take. And you look over here in Luke 23, and they're doing the same thing in verse 34. And Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment, cast lots. He's asking God to forgive him so he can be the Savior of the world and not to hold it against them. He wants them to be saved. He's interceding on their behalf. Verse 19 and 20. "Be not far from me." Again, he says the same thing he said in verse 11. "Be not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword." This long time, this word's mentioned in your Bible. "My darling, from the power of the dog." The Lord here, even though he's forsaken of God and forsaken of mercy, he's still not giving up. He's still looking like David did in Psalm 121, said, "I'll look to the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord made heaven and earth." I'm telling you here, he's called darling here in verse number 20. Let me go back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. We read part of that. I'm going to reread it. "For mine enemies speak against me. They lay wait for my soul. They take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt." Like I said, it's amazing how much of Calvary or the crucifixion is in the Old Testament. Amen. Now, he says, verse 21, "Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." Now, the lion's mouth, that's Satan. The Bible talks about he saw no corruption in Acts chapter 13, verse 37. And, you know, even though Jesus gave up the ghost, gave his life for us, He went to hell for us. The devil wasn't allowed to devour him. It says, "Save me from the lion's mouth." Those people that go to hell, God said he created a hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, when they get down there, they understand what this lion's mouth is all about. They understand what these horns of the unicorns is all about. This is a description of hell. It's probably only found right here in this one verse. But look at verse 22. We're talking resurrection. I mean, he's done give his life. He's done went to hell. In verse 22, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." We're talking resurrection ground here, from the crucifixion to the resurrection. And you know, you look at John chapter 20, verse 17. And he tells Mary Magdalene, Jesus saith unto her, talking about Mary Magdalene, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. He said, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." This is a resurrection verse. Verse 22 is. Verse 23, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye seed of Israel." Verse 23, we need to be reminded to praise him. And to fear him and to realize that he's got it all. Amen. Fear the Lord. Fear him. Praise him. Bible tells us not to fear them that's able to destroy the body, And after that, they could do no more but fear him. They would destroy both body and soul in hell. He said, yeah, I tell you, fear him. Fear is a good thing. It'll keep you in line. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I don't think we got much of that today.
That's right.
We got so much destruction.
Yeah.
So much death. In our cities. Why is it like that, brother? No fear of God. Matter of fact, I believe it's Romans chapter 3. It says, no fear of God for their eyes. They took it all out of the way. Come with a price. Man, I'm telling you, I may not have got saved when I was 34 years old, but I feared God long before I got saved.
That's right. Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse number 18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, when I think about that, you know, when I went to school, I graduated in 1972, but when I went to school, E.B. Terry Elementary School, we had these on the wall. We set them every morning.
Amen.
We set them every morning. That may have been the reason I always had respect, fear for God, because I'd heard this. Thou shalt have none of God before me. Thou shalt worship. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of God. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Those first four commandments are man's relationship with God. If you do love the Lord, you won't take His name in vain. You won't make an image, another God. You will remember the Sabbath day. And you know what? You'll do all those. You'll worship Him. You won't take His name in vain. Hey, I'm telling you, you won't have no more gods out in front of Him. All of that you'll do if you fear God.
That's right.
Those other six verses about man's relationship to man. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. I mean, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. I'm just telling you, all of those we'll observe among ourselves. But those first four is what brings us to God. Is those first four verses cause us to fear the Lord. That's not in our schools today is what I'm trying to say. Principal come over the intercom, Brother Mitchell. He'd read verses out of the Bible in all the classrooms. The intercom would Mr. Reed. Read more. He'd be reading out of the Bible.
Right
Bible too. And he'd read verses out of the Bible. Then we'd say the Ten Commandments. Then we'd say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Somebody lock that door back there, please. Indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Let's read it. She brought something to eat. Amen. But you know what? One nation under God. We're many nations today under many gods.
That's right.
That's why you got so much uproar in our streets. That's why they're having such a problem right now. They're struggling right now, trying to stop these protesters. Hey, morning, Sister Vonnie. Hey, amen. That's why they're trying to put to silence these protesters protesting in the street. This anti-Semitism stuff and all of this. You know, anything but God bless America. Hey, amen.
That's right.
Nations in trouble when they forget God. Morning, Sister Bonnie.
Good morning.
Like I said, this is that resurrection glory to God. Verse 24, he says, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. In Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 7 and 8 says, though he was a son, and he was, you know, he was the son of God. I'm a son of God, but he was the son of God. He's God the Son. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 7 and 8 says, who in the days of his flesh, he was God manifest in the flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, that's capital S too, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That verse 24 tells you, buddy, that he submitted himself when he said, "Not my will, but thy will," in the garden. And he submitted himself when he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Verse 25, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." Amen. Verse 25, notice, "My praise, my vows. I'll give my praise. I'll pay my vows." I'm telling you, before them that fear him. Verse 26, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." Amen. You know, the Bible talks about the meek shall inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. But it also says they'll eat. Amen. I think it's verse 6. Let me look real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says, "The meek shall, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I'm telling you, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. You know, my heart, I'm a 70-year-old man. I don't know how long my heart's going to pump, but it's been pumping blood for 70 years. Hallelujah. But here it says, "Your heart shall live forever." Amen. Verse 27, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." You know, every tongue, every knee. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, but he's going to rule and reign. I'm telling you, verse in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, he's sitting on a throne. A great white throne there. Said, "I saw a great white throne, him that sat up on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. It's the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me see here. Proverbs chapter 1. No, let's go Psalms chapter 2. Let's go Psalms chapter number 2. Psalms chapter 2 says, "Ask of me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like potter's vessels. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him." And I'm one of them. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Revelation chapter 7. Should have read this while we was there. Revelation chapter 7. "You got a multitude no man can name, no man can number, of every kindred, tongue, and nation." And it says, "After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palms in their hand, crying with a loud voice, saying, Salvation our God, was set upon the throne to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne, their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." I just want you to know, the world is going to, all the ends of the world are going to turn to the Lord. Some of them are going to turn, you know, for judgment. Others are going to turn for reward. And all the kindreds of the nations, there's just no getting out of this. This thing's fixed.
That's right.
I mean, he's done suffered. He's done died. He's done resurrected. He's just waiting for, you know, his enemies be put on his feet. He's just waiting for Father translate the kingdom unto him, put the crown of crowns upon him. This thing's all fixed. Amen. Verse 28, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he's the governor among the nations." He's going to rule and reign.
That's right.
I mean, they may have trouble down here right now ruling and reigning.
That's right.
You know, we got diversity down here, DEI, diversity, equity, and and whatever. They can forget all of that.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you something. All are loved. All have sinned. All need to repent, and all need to get saved, and all that don't are going to see the wrath of God, and all that do are going to be glad they did. But there's just no getting out of this. I'm telling you, the road ends at the great white throne judgment. And glory to God, I don't have to go there. I've already been to Calvary. I've already confessed I was a sinner. I already got my sins on the blood. My name's in the book.
Amen.
But these that are, I don't know their. They're stubborn. They're stout-hearted. They say, I'm not going to bow and need nobody. Oh, they won't have a problem at all bowing.
That's right.
They're not going to be forced to bow. They're going to fall like a sack of tater, Sharon.
Right.
They're going to fall right down, no problem at all. They'll bite about 4 inches their tongue off, say, I'm sorry, you're Lord. But it'll be too late. Old song says, oh, what a weeping and a wailing when lost and told their fate. They'll cry to the rocks and the mountains, fall on this, but the cries will be too late. When it's too late, it's too late. Right now is the time to do something about your sad condition. The kingdom is the Lord. He's the governor. All power is given unto Him.
Amen.
When He's sitting on the throne, it's above every throne, Brother Mitchell, they're going to realize
That's right.
Who He is.
That's exactly
Israel's going to realize who He is. They're finally going to get the veil off their heart. Verse 29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. This speaks about judgment. Verse 29 does. And it's inevitable. There's just none can keep alive his own soul. You know, the Lord's the one that gave me life.
Right.
In Him, we live and move and have our being.
Right.
If you want to have a good, healthy life, I'll tell you how to do it. Give thanks for everything. Don't even eat it. Don't eat a single meal without saying, Lord, thank you for this meal. Bless it. Bless the strength of my body. Let me be a blessing to you. Give thanks for everything. Hey, stay in this book. He sent His word and He healed them. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 4, my son, let not my words depart from thine eyes, keep in the midst of thy heart, for their life to all those that find them, and health to their flesh. If you want to have a good, healthy life, Jesus said men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Have a good, healthy Bible diet.
Amen.
None can keep alive his own soul.
Right.
But he can. He gives eternal life to as many as put their trust in Him. Verse 30. A seed shall serve Him. And it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. I'm in that generation that's going to see Him. I hope I am anyway.
Right.
I know every generation's always thought they're going to see the Lord come.
That's right.
The way things is looking, I believe it's not far off. I believe it's nigh, even under at the door. But a generation, and even if I do graduate this life, I'm just going to come with Him, amen. But it says a generation shall serve Him. No, a seed shall serve Him, shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. Verse 31, they shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born. That He have done this. You know, we're His witnesses. We go everywhere. Boy, you need the Lord. Brother,
amen.
Brother Mitchell, just tell me about talking to someone that had a drinking problem and told me he needed the Lord. See, that's why we're here. We're His witnesses. We're the salt.
Amen.
We was talking about salt a little bit earlier. We're a different kind of salt. We're the kind of salt that causes people to think about what their real problem is. They need to get saved. They need to know the Lord. You know, a lot of people know the Lord, they just don't know Him personally.
Right.
If I ask someone, if you know Donald Trump, they say, yeah, I know Him. I say, you know Him personally? Well, no, I don't know Him personally, but I know Him. Well, listen, I know the Lord personally. We talked this morning for about an hour.
Amen.
Praying, each one of y'all, for every need that I knew of and calling you by name to God. I even pray for James Jr. to one day come in this church, run these aisles up here, and shout all over the place, and I'm praying we'll get behind Him and run and shout with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Why not?
Amen.
Ain't nothing too hard for God.
That's right.
I'm praying for little Nicole and David over at Bethel Baptist Church, and they'll get up out of their wheelchairs and run the aisles.
Amen.
I'm praying for Rick DeVoe's son up there in the wheelchair up there at hope for is that he'll get up out of that wheelchair and run the aisle. I know one day they will. Ain't nothing wrong with asking for it being now, amen. I'll tell you right now, when you think God, think big. And when you think God, just remember nothing's impossible with him. He's able to do all things and he does all things well. Why not pray? Why not plead with God? Matter of fact, we'll be preaching a little bit about prayer a little bit today.
Amen.
But I love this one verse in here. I will declare thy name. He's done finished the crucifixion, done paid the debt, done went down to the lower parts of the earth. In verse 21, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Amen. In the midst of the congregation, well, I praise thee. That's a resurrection passage. I praise God. Well, we was able to finish Psalm chapter 22. Anybody got any questions or anything about it? I'm glad God's in control. Amen.
Right.
I'm glad man's not got this thing. I'm glad God's got it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We'll stop right there and give you a chance to get some. I seen Bonnie bringing a cake thing in, look like back there. And that caused me to shut her down pretty quick. Amen. I did have a sweet tooth. I lost it. Amen. That's all right. I got a few more. We'll stop it right there.